Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter number 6. We'll read two verses here. Genesis chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. And then I'll read another verse after we complete those. Genesis chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. You join me when we come to the 15th verse, please. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. And then I'll read one other verse to you. Genesis chapter 9, verse 24, the Bible says, And Noah awoke from his wine, and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this day that you've given us. Thank you for the privilege we have to live in America, where we're free to gather together and to hear your word preached, to sing songs of praise to you. Thank you for the privilege to be part of this church. Thank you for the privilege we have to be in a place where your hand is working and we can see it on a regular basis, how you change lives and save souls. Now, Lord, I pray that today, this time we spend together, as preacher comes and opens the Word of God, would you speak to our hearts, help us to go away from this place changed, make us more like you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated.
When we come to church here, I never come to entertain you. I always come to help you. That's always my intent. I don't know what other preachers do, and I'm not worried about that right now. Some come and try to give 30 or 40 minutes worth of speech to get it over with. I don't want to waste one single sermon just to get it over with. What happens in this church is big. I believe that this sermon today will make or break somebody. There's somebody that struggled onto the property today. On their face, you see a smile, but on the inside, they're hurting and they're confused. You don't realize it, but they're just barely hanging on. And to that one, I hope somehow today we'll be able to help you to hang on for another week. I hate it when people hurt. I hate it if they got hit on their thumb by a hammer that was swung by somebody else, or if they swung the hammer themselves and hurt themselves. I just hate it when people hurt. And because of that, I would like to encourage you today to think through something carefully. Don't waste your hurt. You say, well, that doesn't make sense. Oh, hurt has a purpose. Hurt has a reason. And I come to you and I say, I hate it when you hurt, but let's do this. Since we all will hurt from time to time, let's not let that hurt go to waste. I call the sermon today, Don't Waste Your Burdens. Don't waste your burdens. We see here in the book of Genesis, as Brother Young read with us earlier, we see the story of Noah and the building of an ark. Now let me bring you up to date a little bit, if I can. To some, let me say something to you, maybe for the first time as you hear it. To others, I'll remind you of something. Up until this point, when God comes to Noah and says, I want you to build an ark, to that point, it had not rained before. Therefore, when God comes to Noah and says, Noah, there's going to be a flood, it's going to rain, to date there had not been any rain. So this was all quite a spectacular prediction, and it was quite an awesome, awesome circumstance that we find this man by the name of Noah in. God comes to Noah and says, Noah, I'm going to make it rain, there is going to be a flood. God said, I want you to build an ark. And we all know this story. God says, no, you're going to go out and you're going to gather two of each animal. You're going to get us a couple of elephants and a couple of giraffes, and you're going to get us a couple of zebras, and you're going to get all those, and you're going to gather them up, and we're going to put them on the ark. And there's going to be a flood, though, Noah. Now, I want you to understand something. This thing of Noah building the ark, now, if we're not careful, we may minimize the complexity of this thing, but the truth is, what a job. What a big job. It was a big, big, big ship. That he had no power tools. And that's because there was no place to plug it in. Because there was no electricity. He couldn't go down to the lumber company to get his lumber. He didn't get on his cell phone and call down to the lumber company and say, you know, have that at the dock or, you know, at the construction door of Lowe's, and we'll swing by there and pick it up. He couldn't swing by there and pick it up in his pickup truck because they didn't have any tires back then. Matter of fact, they didn't have anything to put the tires on. So they didn't have a pickup truck. His wife had to carry things. That to this day is why all women have flat heads. Now, there wasn't a lumber company. When these great big beams and all the wood need to be lifted from level to level, they did not have a great big power crane. They didn't have forklifts. When he got hot with his work, he couldn't go in the house and enjoy the air conditioning. Didn't have a truck to haul his lumber. No electricity, no power tools, none of that. None of that. Now he's going to build this great, big, huge ark, and I'm going to promise you something. Just like any big job for God, it was, oh, sure, it was a blessing, but I'll guarantee you it was work. And I'll guarantee you it was hard. And I would think there were moments of frustration, and there were moments of pain, and what a challenge, what a struggle, what a responsibility. Noah is building the biggest thing, I think, probably at that time, the biggest thing on earth. And almost be like God saying to you, I want you to build a skyscraper, the biggest skyscraper ever. He says, I'm not going to give you a bunch of power tools to do it with, and I'm not going to give you the engine, and you're not going to have all that. That's how monumental this would have been to Noah. I'm not sure they would have had boats or ships. God had to draw up the plans for him. Noah didn't take his circular saw to cut the boards. Couldn't do it that way. Noah couldn't go down to the hardware store to get the fasteners, you know, the nuts and the bolts and the nails. Didn't work that way. Didn't work that way at all. What a challenge. What a struggle. And in a way, what a burden. Now, this was a good burden, but it was a burden. You're talking about Noah investing 100+ years in a process. Now, not only that, but everybody, where Noah was, everybody mocked him. Noah was a preacher, and God came to Noah in private and said, Noah, you're going to build a boat, and you're going to get all these animals, you're going to put them on the boat, and it's going to rain, and we're going to flood the earth. And now you go start preaching and telling everybody this flood is coming. Now you got to remember something, folks. It had never rained before. Suddenly you got this kooky Baptist preacher saying, I'm going to gather up two of every kind of animal, and everybody in town is going, this guy's nuts. He is nuts. Look at that great big thing he's building out there. And he says there's going to come water from the sky. Loose Galley's not predicting that. I didn't hear that on the news. And as he's preaching and he's building, they're mocking and they're making fun and they're saying he's crazy. They're belittling him and scorning him. He's taking on a major, major task. And this wasn't today you can drive by a place and there's a vacant lot and you can find the vacant lot being for sale and you can watch a for sale sign go down 1 month and you can see a house built there the next month. It didn't work that way in the building of this ark. Year after year after year after year, he built and he preached and he built and he preached and they mocked. And you're talking about a major on-taking. A burden, but a good burden, but a burden. And then finally one day the rain starts to come. And he gets in the ark and the animals are in the ark and his family gets in the ark. And the Bible says that God closes the door to that ark and the flood comes. All the people on the outside of the ark, just like God had predicted, they drowned. They died. So those that had mocked the preacher, they end up dying. You say, that'll teach him. I don't think Noah really felt that way. Noah lived with these people. I think Noah cared about those people. I don't think Noah wanted to see anybody hurt. But it came. The Bible says then, oh, what a struggle. Finally, the ark comes to rest, and the water begins to go down. Now, I'm not real sure how it all worked, but at the conclusion of this episode, I'll guarantee you something. Whatever kind of a home Noah and his wife had lived in before the ark, it's now gone completely. It's gone. They're nowhere near where that home was, and the home, it's gone. If they had him a little garden, it's gone. What few people may have been friendly toward them on the earth at that time, they're all dead. And I'll tell you something. Even seeing your enemy's dead body, bloated from drowning, being eaten by an animal, is still not pleasant, even if they're your enemy. So boy, I'm telling you, they come to rest. God ends up opening up the door of that ark, and the dead bodies and dead animals and the earth as they knew it has now been totally rearranged. The loss of all their belongings, I do not know how much they brought onto the ark. I do not know if Mrs. Noah got to bring her 50 pair of shoes. I don't know that. I do not know if she had boxes of clothes that were marked clothes from the past, clothes for the present, hopefully clothes for the future. I don't know if she got to bring all those along. I'm not sure of that. I don't know if Noah got to bring all of his fishing tackle boxes and his fishing poles. I don't know. But whatever, I can promise you, they lost some things. They lost friends. They lost their home. They lost maybe their garden. I don't know. But there was a lot of loss. What a burden. What a responsibility. What a challenge. That's what Noah and his family went through. Now, the whole purpose of this morning's sermon is not about that part of the story. Let me tell you what happened. The Bible says that they finally came to rest after that flood. The door of the ark popped open. God gives them some instruction. Noah ends up building a vineyard in which he grew some grapes. He took the grapes. He ended up turning them into wine. He got himself drunk. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 9, verse 24, and Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. I can't tell you exactly what all that means, but I can tell you this. Noah, after doing everything that he did, going through everything that he went through, he got on the other side of the flood. They popped the ark door open. Noah ends up getting drunk. And at best, Noah is found naked, drunk, with a hangover, knowing that his kids had seen that he had done that. Probably something even worse than that happened. I was reading that one day, and I'll be honest, I'll tell you what I thought. What a waste. What a waste to go through all that Noah went through and then, just on the other side of the burden, blow his testimony. Waste. I mean, sure, I realize as far as everybody else on earth, there wasn't anybody that Noah would be embarrassed in front of. But wait a minute. His family was left. Noah, for all those years, he preached righteousness. He said a flood's coming. He wore his hands down, blisters on his hands, worked himself to the bone, sun up, sun down. He's working on this ark. They gather the animals, and he struggles, and the burden and the responsibility and the hardship, and he makes it all the way through the burden. He makes it all the way through the flood. He obeys God all the way through all of that. He gets on the other end of it, gets drunk, ends up stripping himself naked, embarrasses himself, and I thought, what a waste. What a waste. Noah, don't waste all the hardship you just went through. Noah, that hardship was given to make you, not to break you. You went through so much, Noah. I wish I could have been there when he started to tip up the bottle and start to take his drink. I said, Noah, come to your senses. Think of everything you just went through. What are you doing? You see, I think Noah went through an awful lot. And I really think some of the burden that Noah went through, he wasted some of it with his behavior after the burden. Let me remind you of some things about our burdens, if I could. First of all, let me tell you that, and you've heard, those of you that are members of this church, you hear me say this, oh, 5 or 6 times a year, God will never place a greater burden on you than you can bear. You say, how's that so? Because God is a fair God. And God would not place more on you than you can handle. God will not put more on you than you can bear, because my God is a good God. And my God is a fair God. So whatever you're facing, God can help you to make it through it. That's how God always works. So God's a fair God, and God's a just God, and God has not placed, hey, you can face your burden as a good Christian. You can make it through this thing. You say it's heavy, it's hard, it hurts. I understand that, but I'm just telling you, you can make it. God is going to help you make it. I want everybody to look right this way. Now, let me say something else before I get to the base of the sermon. Burdens and heartaches come upon us for a variety of reasons. I don't think we'll ever figure all the reasons why hardship comes upon us and all the reasons why burdens come upon us. I can give you a few of them. For instance, sometimes a burden comes upon us to bring glory to God. Yeah, I mean, it just, you say, I don't understand it. Well, I guess it's just something you'll have to accept. There are times when you or I may face a burden, and somehow God is going to get glory out of it. He deserves all glory. He deserves all honor. And you know something? If God chose that I have a rough day to bring glory to himself, that is our God's prerogative. So I don't think that's fair. You're not God. He is. If I were you, I'd just see it God's way. But I think sometimes burdens come to us to bring glory to our God. I can't explain it all to you. I think sometimes burdens come to us because God is going to help you through a burden because he thinks it's going to help somebody else. There are times when you will have a burden, and you won't even know who's watching, but there was somebody else that's been watching you, and God placed a burden upon your plate, and God said to a second party, you watch the person with the burden, and you are going to learn and grow and become stronger by watching them with their burden. Somebody out there today, let me tell you something. Your daughter is watching how you handle your burden. You've been so caught up in the burden, you've been thinking it's all about me, me, me. It may be that all God is doing, he has placed something upon you, and your daughter is watching you, or your son is watching you, or, hey, I don't know. Maybe it's your husband. Maybe it's your wife. Maybe it's a friend. I don't know. But I believe there are times in life when I will go through a burden, or you will go through a burden, but it's really not all about you. It's all about bringing glory to God, or it's all about somebody else that needs to see how a godly Christian lady faces her burdens, because somebody else is going to face that identical burden someday, and God wanted them to receive training through you. What an honor. What an honor that God believes in you so much that he said, you're the kind of person that I can put a little something heavy on. And it's not to destroy you or hurt you. It's to make somebody else. Sometimes burdens come on us to bring glory to God. Sometimes burdens come on us to help somebody else. Sometimes burdens come on us to strengthen us. You say, strengthen us? Absolutely. Do you know how bodybuilders build up their muscles? Well, they don't build up their muscles by lifting feather pillows. Oh, no. What a bodybuilder does when they're being strengthened, they pick up some weights and they work those muscles. Matter of fact, they break them down a little bit and then build them back up. And then they break them down a little bit and build them back up. And the bodybuilder starts out lifting 50 pounds. And he's doing curls with 50 pounds. And then later on, he changes it to 60 pounds. And those weights virtually have become the burdens. And the burdens are strengthening. They're making stronger the muscles. Eventually, it's 100 pounds. What's happening? The weight has become a burden, but the burden builds strength. And so, you say, I've got this burden on me. What's God trying to do to me? Well, what you really mean is what God trying to do for you. Because there's somebody in here, the burden that you're bearing is all about God trying to make you stronger. And just so you know, you say, but what I'm facing today, oh, it's so heavy. I don't want to scare you. But he may be trying to strengthen you because the burden you're going to face next year is going to be bigger. And he's putting you through a workout process to get you strong enough because he loves you so much that he wants you to be strong enough to handle the burden of tomorrow. So why do heartaches come on us? Why do burdens come on us? Well, they come on us to glorify God. They come on us maybe to help somebody else. They come on us to strengthen us. Sometimes God brings burdens upon us or allows burdens to come upon us so that God may prove his promises are true. When God said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, God meant that. But if you never felt like there was a moment when he could have left you or felt like there was a moment when there was an absence of God, then you would never be able to claim the scripture where he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And it might be the burden caused you to believe the promise of God. So God maybe sometimes says, look, I made all these promises to you. I told you I would love you. I told you I would stick with you through thick and thin. I told you I would strengthen you. I told you that I would help you. I told you that I would be there for you. And God says, I'll give you a little burden so you can look and see and you can glance off at the promise and said, God said he would be with me and God's there for me. God needs you sometimes to go through burdens so you'll claim his promises and find out his promises to stick with you are true. Why do we have burdens? Why do we have heartaches? Sometimes it's because God's spanking us. Now, if you're a born-again Christian, you're a part of the family of God. That makes God your heavenly Father. The Bible uses the word chastisement or chastening. Now, when children are growing up, mom or dad may spank them or chastise them. That's because mom and dad love them. And our Heavenly Father says there are times when because he loves us, he'll spank us. He may chastise us. Now, let me make something perfectly clear to everybody in here. It is not your job to figure out if my Heavenly Father's spanking me. It's not my job to figure out if your Heavenly Father's spanking you. People want to go around judging people all the time, saying, well, I know why they had a flat tire. That's God getting them. Well, knucklehead people all around the world have flat tires all the time, and I don't thank God just going around poking holes in everybody's tires trying to chasten them. Some people have flat tires because they ran over a nail. Duh. Hey, but let me remind you. There are times when God chastens us. It's not my job to figure out when God is chastening you. It's not your job to figure out when God is chastening me. That's between me and my God. But there are times when burdens come upon us because God is spanking us. There are times when burdens are coming upon us so God can teach us. Oh, you can learn a little better when your heart is tender. You can learn a little better when you get that pride knocked out from underneath you. People full of pride don't learn very well. They're too busy mentally challenging everything that's being said instead of being molded in heart and mind through humility. But God sometimes allows burdens to teach us. Hey, I don't know. I have to say this. Sometimes a burden may come upon us. God had a purpose for it, and we don't have to know. See, I want to know what God's doing here. Since when does God give answer to you? There's something, if you're a guest here today, you'll find out. I happen to believe we have a sovereign God. I happen to believe our God, He's at the top of the totem pole. He doesn't have to give answer to anybody. God can do what God wants to do. He's God. I trust Him. He said, I'll keep true to my word, and God will keep true to His word. Man does not have to understand God. I don't want to understand God, to be quite honest. If I could understand God, how smart could He be? My God's bigger than that. Now, burdens come upon us, though. They come upon us to bring glory to God. They come upon us to help somebody else. They come upon us to strengthen us. They come upon us to prove God's promises to us. They come upon us sometimes maybe as chastening. And they come upon us to teach us. They come upon us for God's purpose. That's His prerogative. But let me say to everybody here, to everyone here, and Brother Matt, we're going to turn this on. Don't waste your burdens. Don't waste them. You see, the one thing I know is God loves you. One thing I know about burdens is God won't overload you. He didn't give you the burden or the heartache to destroy you. He gave it to you so you could be made better by it. Don't waste your burdens. I was just a bit bothered when I realized that everything that Noah had gone through for all those years, all the struggle, all the pain, all the hassle, all the mocking, the immensity of the responsibility and the length of time and every bit of energy and effort that he put into it. He made it all the way through the burden. He made it all the way through the flood. He made it all the way through the harassment. He made it all the way through all of that. Got on the other side of the flood, and he went out and got drunk and blew his testimony, and I say, Noah, what? Don't waste everything that you just went through. And I come to all of you, I hate it when people hurt. I do. I hate it when people hurt. So may I submit to you today, if you go through some hard times, whatever you do, don't waste those hard times. They hurt you. You struggled through them. Whatever you do, if you've made it through the hard time, don't waste what you are supposed to get out of the hard time. For instance, don't waste the burden of a loved one that went to hell. I know that's an unpopular thought. But listen, folks, there are people in hell. Do you know of someone who wouldn't get saved or didn't get saved? And I know, what a heartache, what a burden, what a terrible thought. And really, when I was alone with God preparing this outline, I wrote this down, and this morning I thought, I don't want to say that, God. I don't want to remind anybody that maybe they have people that they know that died and went to hell. Somehow in my heart, God said, but Jeff, if you remind them, we may keep them from ever going through that heartache again. Say, how so? Look, folks. If you have relatives, if you have family, if you have friends, if you have acquaintances that died and went to hell, what a burden, what a heartache. Don't waste that. You say, well, what am I supposed to do about it? Tell everybody you know about Jesus. Get everybody you can saved. You see, if you've got that burden, if you've got that heartache and you went through it, hey, I don't know, maybe you went to the funeral and you say, boy, I'll tell you what, it was a tough funeral. The preacher could not stand up and say, I know this person's trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, and the preacher kind of had to sidestep here and sidestep there, was trying to figure out how to get us through that whole thing, and in your heart, you're sitting there saying, oh my, where are they? Are they in hell? Well, let me tell you something. If you bear the burden of the thought that somebody you knew is in hell, don't waste the burden. What can you do from here on out? Tell everybody you know about Jesus Christ. Tell them how to be saved. You see, if you must bear the pain, don't waste the burden. Witness to your living loved ones. Let the pain or the thought of someone we know that died without Christ motivate us to make a difference in the lives of everybody else we know. I don't want you to go through the pain again. Don't waste the burden. Don't waste the heartache of knowing someone died and went to hell. Don't waste that burden. Let that burden become productive in your life. Let me say this. Don't waste the burden of the death of a child. What a great heartache. When a parent outlives a child. Oh, deep pain. Heavy heartache. Heavy burden. Seemingly as near being unbearable as possible. Stretching the grace and the mercy of God to its limits. But folks, if you have a child, and that child passed on before you, you say, I faced the burden. Don't waste the burden. Don't waste it. You say, but my child's gone. I wish they were here. You know what you better do? You better go love another child then. You say, I would love to have my child and hold my child. I would love to have that. Okay, your child's gone. And I can't bring that child back. But I can tell you this, if you face the heartache and you face the burden, let that burden motivate you to do something good because of the burden. Listen to me. There are some of you, you have lost children to death. And I feel for you. I feel for you. But now, you have other living children. You never talk to them. You're fussing with them. You're fighting with them. You don't have a good relationship with them. What are you doing? You face the burden of losing a child and you say, I wish I could have them back. I wish I could love them again. Then you turn around after having faced the burden of the loss of a child. You've got other living children and you're not doing what you could with them. You're not loving them like you could. You know, what I'm talking about here is some forgiveness. What I'm talking about here is some healing. What I'm talking about here is some reconciliation. If you lost a child, oh, the pain. But let me tell you something, my friend. Don't waste the pain. Let the pain motivate you to go love your living children. Teach others to love their kids. God did not allow you to go through that pain to make you bitter at Him. He wanted it to better you. I don't know why you went through that burden, but you don't waste the burden. David, the Old Testament prophet David, he went through some difficult times. He lost a child. And one day, David said, my child cannot come back to me. But David said, but I someday shall go to him. Now your child cannot come back to you. If you are born again, one day you will go to that child. But may I recommend to everybody in here that's ever faced the devastation of the loss of a child that you do this. Don't let that thing destroy you. Decide, the pain that I had to face, I'm going to use it. I'm going to love my other children. I'm going to love children. I'm going to help people. I'm going to encourage people because of it. Hey, let me say, I said, number one, don't waste the burden of a loved one in hell. Don't waste the burden of the loss of a child. Number three, don't waste your burden of being forsaken by your mate. Oh, the embarrassment. You were married. Your mate forsook you. He ran off. She ran off. Left you behind. Left you with the kids. Oh, the embarrassment. The hurt. The pain. The humiliation. The loneliness, the fear. I say to you, you've experienced that. You went through it. You were cut deep. You were bleeding. The pain came. Don't waste the pain. Don't waste that pain. Say, well, what am I supposed to do? Become a better person because of it. Become a better Christian because of it. Whatever you do, You say, well, Brother Owens, I married and I didn't marry right and it didn't turn out well and they forsook me and I've gone through the pain and the embarrassment and the hurt. Well, whatever you do, don't marry wrong again. Don't waste the burden. Folks, you learn a lot from hardship. You can learn an awful lot from pain. You can learn so much. There's so much. Have you ever, in sports, we used to say, no pain, no gain. And a lot of life is that way. A lot of life is those things that we gain the most from, we're supposed to pay the most to get. So be careful that you don't waste your burden. Be a better Christian because your mate forsook you. Hey, become the woman God wants you to be. Become the man God wants you to be. Encourage others not to give up on their marriage. Hey, so, and I don't say this to hurt anybody. If you come to this church and you're divorced, you're not treated like a second-class citizen around here. But let me tell you something. You say, I went through a divorce, Brother Owens, and it broke my heart. I've never met anybody that's heart wasn't broken after going through a divorce. I never met anybody that was their plan and that's what they wanted. No, I've never met anybody. I've seen a lot of devastation and heartache and ruin. I've seen a lot of pain and a lot of tears and a lot of anguish because of it. But may I say something to you? Okay, your first marriage ended up on the rocks and it was a mess and you remarried. Could I recommend something? Well, don't let this one fall apart. Stop and remember. Stop and remember the pain and the anguish and the heartache that you went through the first time. And if you're on the second one, salvage it. Salvage it. Don't waste your burden. You see, you got to be careful. You know, sometimes people go through all this pain, all this anguish, all this heartache. They go through a marital mess, turn around, get married, and take themselves right down the same path again. Don't waste your burden. Don't waste the burden and the heartache and the pain of knowing somebody died and went to hell and never got saved. Don't waste the pain of losing a child prematurely to death. Don't waste the pain of being forsaken by a mate or losing a marriage. Fix this one. Do what you must. Get yourself right with God. Let me say number four, don't waste the burden of your terrible sickness. There are people in here. Some that I know of, some that I don't. You thought you would die. You were so sick. You wondered if your life was over. Now, until you've actually faced that thought, you don't understand it. But when you actually are facing death, if you wonder if you're going to breathe again, or if you wonder if you're going to make it, that's a terrible feeling. What a burden. What pressure. And I'm saying to you, don't waste that terrible sickness that you went through. Listen, did God spare you from cancer? Was it an infection that had gotten into your body? Do some of you remember this? Remember when you were so sick? Think now. You remember when you were so sick, you were scared and fearful, and you said, God, if you will spare me, I will, what'd you say? What'd you tell God you were going to give him? What'd you tell God you were going to do for him? And he spared you. Are you doing it? Did you give it? Hey, did you have a victory over a disease, but then the minute God gave you the victory, you wasted the burden and the heartache of everything you went through? Don't waste that burden. Let that illness that God seen you through, you let that experience that God helped you through motivate you to go on and do something for God. You say, I was sick and it was terrible and I thought I would die. Well, when's the last time you went to the hospital and encouraged anybody? Don't waste your burden. Let it motivate you. Let it motivate you to help somebody. Right? Hey, listen, I was thinking, we have Mrs. Chapman, one of our dear sweet ladies, been in the hospital for some time now. Yesterday, one of our good men, Bobby Caldwell, was in a terrible accident. Boy, he's got a broken hip and broken ribs and broken bones in his face and some internal bleeding. He's down in the Winchester Medical Center right now. Some of you remember back when you went through something like that? What's God gotten out of you since he spared you? Don't waste your burden. Don't waste the burden of that illness. You know, that illness was not given to you to destroy you. Look, if you made it through something, if you made it through the burden, if you made it through the heartache, God was expecting you to come out the other end a better person. God put you through it to get something out of you. Now, hey, are you wasting the burden that God allowed you to go through? Oh, let every burden be like a strainer. Let that burden strain the impurities out of your life and the stinginess out of your life and the self-centeredness out of your life. And let that that comes forth on the other end of the strainer be purity and goodness and kindness and productivity for God. Hey, don't waste your burden in regard to your financial difficulties, your financial, maybe even a financial collapse. Hey, to some, you may not understand, the loss of a job can be pretty devastating sometimes. Maybe the hurt or the burden of a huge financial setback. Maybe your business crashed. Maybe you made a big mistake with your own finances. Maybe an emergency of some sort. Maybe something you brought on. Maybe something you did not bring on. But you had a financial collapse from it. Let me ask you a question. You learning from it? Did you learn from it? Or are you wasting that burden you went through? Are you wasting it? You know something? If you have gone through a terrible financial time and you're still alive and you're still sucking air, God expected you to make it through it and become better because of it and do all you can never to go through something like that again. Learn from it. Don't repeat it. Let me ask you this. Do you thank God today for everything that you have? You know something that you'll learn by going through loss is you'll learn to thank God for what you have. And if you today are just, hey, if you have been through some terrible financial times and you still can't thank God for what you have, you still haven't learned your lesson. How much do you have to lose for God to get your attention so you might turn around and say, I just want to thank you, God, for everything I have. When you don't have enough food, you can begin to thank God for what you do have. Hey, what is it? What burden came in your life? What burden is it that you are wasting in your life? Have you wasted the burden of a loved one that possibly died and went to hell? Are you wasting the burden of a child that passed on before you? Are you wasting the burden of being forsaken or your marriage being in wreck and ruin? Did you waste the burden of a sickness? Did you waste the burden? Are you wasting the burden of financial difficulties and financial collapse? Hey, don't waste the burden of a tough upbringing. You know, there's some people in this room, they didn't have a Christian mom growing up. They didn't have a Christian dad growing up. They didn't have a Christian school growing up. They didn't have somebody take them to Sunday school. They didn't have a youth department like ours. There are some people in this room, but there's some bad memories in your childhood. There was a lot of hate, a lot of booze, drunkenness, drugs, immorality, violence, bad decisions. You say, well, that's me. You say that, but when you say that, it reminds me that's how I grew up. That's what my life was like. Could I recommend something to you? You say that was the burden. I was a burdened child and a burdened teenager. And in my youth, it was a burden in the world and sin and chaos in my life. Oh, the burden. Don't waste that burden. Okay, you went through it. Okay, you can recognize it. Okay, you're familiar with it. You say, well, what am I supposed to do? Hey, go find some children and help them get on a bus route and go bring some boys and girls in that are growing up the same way you grew up. But in this case, you are a victor. You're going to tell them somebody loves them. You're going to help them get to church. You're going to teach them in Sunday school. Don't waste your burden. Had a rough upbringing. Okay, you did. Stop. Shake yourself and say, I am not going to waste that. I'll use that to help somebody. Had a tough upbringing. Don't waste your burden. What do you want? You want to just live in your pity party for the rest of your life? I didn't have a Christian mom. I didn't have a Christian dad. I didn't have a Christian school. I'll just whine for the rest of my life. Well, what in the world good's that going to do? Why don't you decide that whatever that burden was, it was given to strengthen you. It was given to glorify God. It was given to make you better. It was given to teach you something. It was given to motivate you. It was given to get you going. It was given to challenge you. And you look at that burden and say, burden, you're not going to get me down. I'm going to use you. I'm going to make something good of my burden. Don't waste your burden. Don't waste your burden. Don't waste that burden. Use it. Hey, God's not wanting you to spend your life seeking pity, but seeking to be used. Decide. Those of you who say, well, I didn't grow up in the church. I didn't grow up in Sunday school. Our marriage didn't grow up learning these things, and we didn't have a married couples class to go to. And Brother Owens, we our kids, they didn't get to go to a Martinsburg Christian Academy. We didn't know all that. Can I tell you something? Why don't you decide then that it'll be different for your kids? Say, as a kid, I didn't have that. Won't you decide it'll be different? Why don't you decide that that burden will motivate you to live a different life and do something different for your kids and different in your house and different with your life and help your kids to have a different life? Your burden. Don't waste your burden. I say, Noah, what are you doing? Noah, you went through all of that, all the pain and the agony and the torture of it all. You went all the way through that, got on the other side of the flood, and what did he do? Got drunk. I say, Noah, wake up. Don't waste the hardship you went through. Hey, build upon the hardship, but don't let the hardship drown you. Get it? Noah didn't drown in the ark. He didn't drown in the flood. He kind of drowned after he stepped off the ark and all the water was gone. What the flood could not do to him, Noah's lack of looking back and learning from the hardship, probably what hurt him. Hey, don't waste the burden. What is that? Hey, what's that special catastrophe in your life? What's that big thing that hit you? What is it that you faced? What burden have I not mentioned this morning? Think back. Think back at how it could have destroyed you. Was it an addiction? Was it your drug addiction that nearly took you for everything that you're worth and you barely grabbed a hold of yourself and came back to the land of the living? Was it an addiction? Was it your booze? Was it your alcoholism? Was it your anger? Hey, what was it? Let that burden produce something great in your life. Don't waste your burden. Speaking of a catastrophe, listen to this. When Carl went away on vacation, his brother Ben promised to take care of his cat. The next day, Carl called Ben to see how the animal was doing. "Your cat is dead," said Ben, "dead as a doornail." "Dead," said Carl. "Well, why did you have to tell me like that?" "Well, how should I have told you?" asked Ben. "Well," said Carl, "the first time I called, you could have broken it to me gently. You could have said my cat was on the roof, but the fire department was getting her down. The second time I called, you could have told me the story advanced, and the cat fell out of the fireman's arms and broke a bone in its body. The third time I called, you could have said that the veterinarian did everything they could, but Fluffy passed away. That way it wouldn't have been so hard on me, but to call and say my cat's dead as a doornail, what's wrong?" Ben said, "I'm sorry." "That's all right," said Carl. "By the way," Carl asked, "how's Mother?" Ben said, "Well, she's up on the roof right now. The fire department's trying to get her down." The catastrophes of life. I look at the story of Noah, and I think the burden that Noah carried in the building of the ark and the persecution, I think it was all good, but I look at it and I say, Noah, boy, you were building up and up and up and up, and you were going somewhere. You got on the other side of that burden, and suddenly you wasted so much of that hardship, and you messed up your testimony, and you didn't really grow like you probably could have grown in regard to that burden. Don't waste your burden, folks. Hey, don't waste the burden of your wasted years away from God. Don't waste the burden of your wasted years away from God. Being away from God is miserable whether you're saved or whether you're lost. When people are away from God, there's a lack of comfort in their life. There's virtually a negative snowballing effect that takes place in the life. Things seem to get worse and worse and worse. Christians that get away from God, their life begins to fall apart a little and then a little more and a little more. Before long, the devil's got them convinced you'll never get this thing put back together. Don't you believe the lie of the devil. Jesus is a great healer. We'll help you get it put back together. You just come on back to God. But even lost people that get away, you know, lost people that are away from God and they're unsaved and they're not born again. Oh, what a miserable life. How people make it, I don't know. I don't know. But those of you that are, you're lost and you're away from God, or maybe, hey, listen to this. Those of you that were saved late in life, you say, Brother Owens, here I am, and I didn't get saved when I was 4 or 5. I didn't get saved in kindergarten. I didn't get saved when I was a teenager. It's late in life, and I look back now, and I look at all the years I've wasted. Could I recommend something to you? Now that you're saved, don't waste the burden of the years that you were lost. Get on board, and let's make something happen with your life. If you're not careful, you'll say, well, look at me, I'm in my 40s, or I'm in my 50s, or I'm in my 60s, and I didn't get saved when I was young. I can't do what I once could have done. And if you're not careful, you'll sit there like a bump on a log, and you'll have so much remorse about the fact that you got saved late in life, you won't do anything for God. Look, if you're still alive, it means God has a plan for you, and you can't do what you could have done when you were 10, but you can do what you could do at your age. Get busy, and don't waste the burden. You look back and you say, boy, why did I get on board so late? I don't know. But if you're on board, you're on board now. Make something happen. Serve God with your life. How about those of you that have gone through times of backsliding in your life? Don't waste your burden. The prodigal son left home, left his daddy, went out and wasted his money and wasted his life, wasted his testimony. Thank God, while he's eating out of the pig pen, he comes to himself. He says, I'm going home. Prodigal son went home. Thank God for it. Hope he went home and got on fire for God and did something great with his life. I'm not real sure what took place after he got home. Let me ask you. Are you one that had been a prodigal? Maybe you are now. Away from God. Backslidden. Not coming to church like you should. Not interested in the Bible. Not concerned about living for Christ. Are you a backslidden prodigal? Hey, don't waste the burden of it all. There's some of you, you used to be backslidden. You've come back to church now. You know what some need to do? You need to think back to when you were away from God and how miserable you were. There's some people, when you were backslidden, you got right with God, you said, God, from here on out, I'm going to serve you. Why are you going down the same backslidden path again? Where are you going? What are you doing? Don't waste the burden of your backslidden years. Some of you need to think back. You say, you know what? I got away from God once and nearly messed up my life. I'm not going back into the world. Shake yourself and wake yourself. Don't waste the burden. Some of you need to look at the scars on your spiritual body and remember how the devil turned you every which way but loose. He tore up your life. He tore up your mind. He tore up your body. You struggled back to God and you barely got back to God and you sat in church for a little while. And what are you doing? You're heading right back toward the hog crawl for the hog pen of the world. Wake up. Wake up and don't waste the burden of your backsliding. Let that remind you of what the world's like. Don't waste your burden. And let me say this, and I'm finished. Don't waste the burden of God's chastisement in your life. The book of Hebrews talks about God spanking his children. Matter of fact, if God spanks you, that's a good sign. Because God loves you. God doesn't chastise you to he's not trying to take your sin out of your hide. All sin was paid for by Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Chastisement's purpose is direction. Chastisement's purpose is to help you not to hurt yourself and to get into more trouble. But God spanks his kids. Why? Because he loves us. Again, I'll remind you, we're not to judge one another about this. You got your hands full with you. You just check up on you. If something bad happens to you and you feel like that's God spanking you a little bit, that's going to be up to you. But I'll tell you this. Sometimes God spanks us softly. Sometimes God spanks us a little harshly. I want you to ask yourself a question. Listen. Pay attention. Set up and pay attention real carefully. We're almost done. Have you been spanked? You been spanked by God? When was it? Did you learn anything from it? Have you been spanked by your God? Has God brought you to your knees? Hey, Christian, has your Heavenly Father had to pull out His paddle of love and whip your back end and cause a little bit of pain in your life? Do you remember the pain? Do you remember the hurt? I wish you would. Don't waste the burden. Don't waste the heartache. Don't waste the pain of past spankings. See, every parent alive hopes that this spanking gets to be the last one. No parent wants to ever spank again. We'd like to know that the spanking will bring the right result. And if not, I guess we'll have to go around the block and ring the bell again. Don't waste the pain of the spankings that God has given you in the past. Somebody here needs to think back and say, I remember. I remember I was away from God. I remember what it cost it. I remember God coming and I knew that God had chastised me. I knew that what was happening in my life and some of the hardship was coming because God was trying to get my attention. I remember the pain. I remember the heartache. I remember what it was costing me. I don't want to go back. Look at your scars and don't waste your spiritual scars. There's some married people in here. You need to listen. You evidently did not learn the last time. Learn your lesson. Don't repeat the pain. And I don't come to you in an attitude of judgment. I come to you saying, I don't like it when people hurt. I was downtown the other day and I was watching somebody. I'm obviously probably a street person. I've seen how dirty they were. I just looked at their life and I thought, well, I hate it for them. I hate it that their life's that way. I was recently at a funeral, and I'll tell you what my eyes do. At that funeral, I was not speaking. I was not looking at a casket. That would do no good. I was looking at just all the people there. And way down deep in my heart, I said, boy, do I hurt for them. I don't want them to hurt. And folks, I don't want you to hurt. We will. We will hurt. But here's what I recommend. Our hurts of yesterday can help us to avoid some hurts today. Our hurts of yesterday can help us to avoid some hurts tomorrow. Please, don't waste yesterday's hurts. Noah, what are you doing? I can picture Noah and Mrs. Noah sitting down after this is all over with, and Noah saying, you know what, we made it all that way and went through all of that. I turn around and goof up my testimony in front of the kids. What was I thinking? Don't waste your burden. If you're here today, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, let me tell you of one that did not waste his burden. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, lived 33 and a half sinless years on this earth. One day they falsely accused him and found him to be guilty, but he was guilty of nothing more than loving you. They crucified him, they nailed him to a cross, beat him to a pulp. But can I tell you what happened? Through all the hardship that Jesus Christ went through, he did not waste his burden because he made it so you could go to heaven someday. All the hardship. Jesus' hardship was not brought on by Jesus. Jesus' hardship was brought on by mankind. Oh, now he willingly. He did. His blood was not spilt. Spilt's an accident. His blood was given. But he died for us. Everything that Jesus went through, it was all about you. He said, I will go through this burden because the way of the cross is going to lead you home. He did not waste the burdens that were placed upon him. He got something good out of them. Jesus didn't waste the burden. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, let me recommend to you that you get saved. We're not asking you to join the church. We're not asking you to get baptized. We're not asking you to give money. We're not asking you to turn over a new leaf. The Bible teaches that you are a sinner. There is a penalty for your sin, and Jesus Christ paid that penalty with His death, His burial, and His resurrection. If you've never turned to that Christ and asked Him to forgive you of your sin, to come into your heart and be your Savior, then you're not saved. But if you have asked Him to do that, you can go to heaven.